Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, well, here I am in Salt Lake City. Sid Tetro is joining me right now. Women Tech Council. We are at a SheTech event, Explorer Day. Sid, thank you for having me.
So happy to have you.
An entrepreneur. I see a lot of budding entrepreneurs here. And how many people are you saying? How many young ladies?
We're going to have probably 4,000 people here today.
Okay.
I'm super excited.
Oh, my gosh. So let me just tell you, folks, you're going to hear a lot of noise throughout the show. What is, first of all, the Women Tech Council?
So the Women Tech Council is a nonprofit. We started about 15 years ago, really focused on how do you increase the number of women in tech from high school to the boardroom. And we do it through mentoring, visibility, opportunity, and networking. And it's all about how do you make a difference.
And I love that. SheTech, where did this come from? Give us the genesis. Who started it? Where did it come from? And it's a brilliant idea. And I love how you're starting in the high school area there because, and I think perhaps even young girls don't feel like they're really noticed that much the way that they go after young men and athletes and all that.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, we started this program 10 years ago.
Okay.
And we did so because as we looked at our objective and how we make impact and how you increase women in tech, we recognized that you need the pipeline fixed at every stage. And what we found from our high school girls is that none of them had any role models and they knew no mentors.
Wow.
And so
that's kind of sad, isn't it?
It is, because they just don't see those people.
Wow.
And so they don't know who they can become.
Yeah. Other than the rock star or the sports athlete thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or the people who are around them.
Yeah.
And so we saw this opportunity to say, we are an industry organization, and if they meet the thousands of amazing women that we know in tech, it will change their lives forever. And we are the perfect organization to create an impactful program to change those lives. We'll introduce them to these role models and mentors, and we'll make a difference.
So Explorer Day, what's going on here? I mean, there's how many booths are here? You're going to have 4,000 young girls running around here, and they're going to be experiencing what?
So we have three things we want them to do today. We want them to meet mentors and role models and interact with them. We want them to get exposure to 60 technologies or more. So what you see here in this tech zone, all these hands-on experiences. We want the girls to put their hands on technology, so what they're passionate with, they get to see how technology explodes that. And then in the afternoon, we have a tech challenge. They have to solve it with a mentor, and they pitch for prizes. So this is like everything you can imagine, from the entrepreneur ecosystem to technology to hands-on to mentors. You're going to get all of it in 4 hours.
In 4 hours?
In 4 hours.
This is only like a half-day event?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. When I went into the room with all the tables and chairs with the big stage,
yeah,
it's a sea. It's unbelievable how many people are going to be here, and it's all happening in a like an explosion.
I love it.
I will tell you a story about my daughter, who is now a mother of three. But when she was kind of lost in maybe 10th or 11th grade, I started taking to her a couple events like this.
Yep.
And I said, here's a camera. Do me a favor. Take some pictures of us. What do you think she became?
She went right into media.
Into media and being a photographer.
Exactly.
And then she started doing weddings, and then she started dating a guy, and she was immediately making already more money than he was, which really made him have to think, right?
Yeah.
But it was because she was around something that she enjoyed, and she got to be exposed to things, and that's what you're doing. It's so important.
Exactly.
What a wonderful thing. All right, so the message out there to people, because this is a worldwide audience, Entrepreneur
yep.
Magazine goes around the whole world. What do you want people to know, and how can they get involved and bring something like this to their town?
Well, so what's really cool about SheTech is we created a model that is applied in lots of other regions. So people take what we're doing here and the curriculum that we've created, and it's implemented everywhere. So that's a really cool thing that you can do to engage with SheTech. But the thing I want you to know is that you can make a difference in the lives of the next generation. And you can do so by showing up for them and helping them see the pathways, because that's what they're missing. And if you just spend a tiny bit of time, they're inspirational to you and you change the future for everyone.
What have you learned over these 10 years watching, or maybe let me even rephrase that. What have you seen? Because perhaps a 16 or 17 year old girl that may have come to one of the first ones, I imagine you see them. They pop up in life every now and then. Any
All
interesting
the
stories?
All the time. Actually, I interviewed 5 of them last week
on a
stage, and they shared their stories, every one of them, where a teacher invited them here to come. They met some mentor, and they're now graduating or are in industry in STEM because of this experience. Because they came here, and they saw someone on stage who was an aerospace engineer, and they said, I never knew that was a career. And do you know what? That person looks like me, and I can do that. Then they went. They studied the degree, they got support through an ecosystem and with us, and then they graduated, and now they're working for a tech company. That's incredible. That's what we want.
Awesome. How do people reach out to Women Tech Council?
Yes, you can find us at womentechcouncil.org. All of our contact info is on there. And the SheTech site is shetechexplorer.com.
Awesome. Sid Tetro, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having us here. We're going to interview a whole bunch of amazing people today.
I know. I'm super excited. Thank you for being here.
Thanks. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
Attention business owners. 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are three things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the clutter factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the death of the salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. It's worked for 250,000 businesses worldwide. It'll work for you. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
Welcome back, Entrepreneur Weekly, today in Salt Lake City for the Women Tech Council SheTech Explorer Day. Our next guest is Becky Wright, who is excited about being an entrepreneur. She's a founder and a CEO of a company. What is the company, Becky?
Proximity.
Proximity, and it's on your shirt and all your people's shirts. What is Proximity?
Proximity is a platform for political campaigns to simplify campaign operations so candidates can connect more closely with voters.
And I thought to myself when I heard about this, I thought, what an interesting business.
Yeah.
And you being an entrepreneur, and you're so happy to be an entrepreneur. It's like, I got to tell you, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Because when I remember getting involved with Entrepreneur Magazine, I thought to myself, I found my tribe.
Yes, yes.
Entrepreneurs.
Builders.
Doers, exactly. And I see it in you.
Yes.
And it's wonderful. So congratulations about being
Thank
a founder
you.
And a CEO. And this whole interesting thing about helping political and people that are in tech as well with their campaigns. How do you do that? Maybe talk about that.
Right. So in a traditional sense, campaigns are kind of clunky. I've been a political consultant, a campaign manager, a finance director for campaigns large and small, and I kept seeing the same problems over and over again, and really a lot of inefficiency. So I wanted to solve that problem using tech. I wanted to combine all the resources you need for a campaign into one platform.
Really. Okay, well, let's talk political for a moment.
Okay.
No,
and we are a nonpartisan platform, actually, because our whole mission is to help good leaders become great candidates and to level the playing field. I mean,
which is great.
Are you going to run for office someday?
You know what's funny? I was thinking about running for mayor of my town.
There you go.
And I realized I live in the county and not in the city, and you can't run.
Oh, no.
I thought, I'm not moving, so never mind, I guess. You know, but I think we should all be a little more involved in the politics of our small towns and big towns.
Yes, absolutely.
Because otherwise, you are destined to fall into a category of followers and not leaders. And an entrepreneur is a leader.
Absolutely.
So I'm a natural born leader. I have been my whole life. And so I don't want to just sit back on my couch and watch the news and rot and complain about everything. I want to get out and change it.
Yeah, I always say you can't complain if you're not engaged.
There you go. That's
right. If you're not engaged, and this is one way to help engagement, to help civic engagement, and for us to have a meaningful difference in our community.
What are some of the big mistakes that you've seen over and over and over again? Because we look at the two folks that are running now, the big guys, and my wife, at first, she's like, I don't like that guy. He brags too much. He does this too much. He does that too much. And I go, well, okay, that's his personality. Let's see what he does with his policies.
Yeah, yeah.
But it seems like they could make the process easier. Like the State of the Union the other day, everybody said, well, Biden was yelling. He was yelling at everybody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
These are little mistakes. Who's there behind him saying, calm down. Don't yell at the people, right?
Yeah.
Is that a person that's you? Are you that person?
I am that person as a political consultant.
Right.
A lot of times, even in small campaigns, so it's great to talk about who's going to be president. And right now, actually 70% of our nation, 70% of voters say they don't want to match up a rematch between Trump and Biden. But that's what we've got right now, right? We'll see if we have additional options later. But where the most difference is going to be made is in your local elections.
I agree.
So proximity is specifically built for down ballot elections.
Okay.
So that it can be more representative of those who are in your
because,
area.
Because, listen, you got two guys.
Right.
Two guys at the very top.
Right.
But thousands upon thousands of the mayors and
right.
that city council.
And the commissioners.
And the commissioners.
And the county, exactly. whatever, you know,
yeah.
assessor. All of those things matter.
Okay.
They matter to your wallet. They matter to your
what
day-to-day.
Interesting business you
yeah.
have.
So you want to make sure that those people are representative of you. And you want to make sure that you have the tools, if you're going to run or if you know someone that's going to run, tools that are going to help you be successful. The last campaign I worked, I used six different software programs. And
wow.
none of them talked to each other. The data was manual
wow.
transferring. And I was going, what is happening? What is going on?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I decided, let's put them all in one. Let's add some
it.
More features and improve these things and give people really a central command for their campaign.
Entrepreneurs are problem solvers.
Yeah, yeah.
So website, in case somebody's yeah. thinking about running for something.
ProximityCampaigns.com.
Okay, ProximityCampaigns.com. Why are you here at the SheTech event today?
You know, this is my third year at SheTech. I'm a huge supporter of women in tech. I'm a huge supporter, again, as I said, in politics. I want to see women in politics. I want to see women in tech. I want to see more of these girls seeing themselves in leadership positions. So I come, I mentor these girls. I help with this the SheTech Challenge. And it's a great opportunity to see like the success that can already start from just a young age.
Becky Wright, a proud entrepreneur wearing her crown, part of the tribe of entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we have a lot of, you know, big tech companies, big corporate companies. And when I saw your face and the smile and you're proud of this thing called entrepreneurialism, I think that that is that spirit, that spark that we need. And that's why I come to these events.
Absolutely.
Because of people like you.
Well,
so
great.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to be here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Becky Wright. All right, again, it's ProximityCampaigns.com with an S on the end.
Yes.
ProximityCampaigns.com from the Women Tech Council in Salt Lake City. We'll be back with more. Stay with us. Hi, I'm Alan Taylor from Entrepreneur Weekly. Child sexual exploitation is an unimaginable crime that continues to invade our communities and homes. The Maloof Foundation is confronting this crime by providing education, promoting healing, and ensuring justice for survivors. But this cause can't be won alone. Learn how you can join the Maloof Foundation in their efforts to preserve a child's right to freedom, hope, justice, and dignity at MaloofFoundation.org. That's M-A-L-O-U-F Foundation.org. Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga.
I can't stop this.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, welcome back. Once again, the Women Tech Council SheTech Explorer Day. Coca-Cola is here, but not Coca-Cola itself. One of the biggest bottling companies in the world. The CEO is Rob Gehring, Swire Coca-Cola. Maybe people don't understand that Coca-Cola is, they have the recipe. Is that fair to say?
Correct. Correct.
So first of all, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate the time.
Do me a favor. A couple of things I want to know about Swire Coca-Cola, your company. But why are you here at the SheTech Explorer Day? I mean, I see you're launching what looks like a new flavor. But give us a little insight to why you guys are here.
You bet. So Swire Coca-Cola, we're a large corporation. So we operate in 13 of the Western U.S. states here in the U.S.
Okay.
But our footprint also includes, we own half of China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Vietnam, Cambodia, and recently Thailand.
So you bought the whole country of Thailand. No, the rights to be, I
we
guess.
We bought the rights, correct.
Okay,
we bought the rights.
Wow, that's a big company.
Yes.
Yes.
So you're right. We partner with the Coca-Cola company who owns the concentrate and owns that secret recipe that
yeah.
we refer to.
Right.
And then we take it, we manufacture it or produce it, put it in cans or bottles, and we distribute it to the customers in the communities we serve. So for us, it's that 13 Western states or about 33 million U.S. consumers. You
wow.
know, in China, it's about 800 million consumers, but the role we play is basically delivering it to our consumers.
Mm.
And so there's a lot of infrastructure associated with that. And what leads us to be is we have about 8,000 employees here in the U.S. We come to an organization like Sheet Tech because we're always recruiting for the future. Oh. So we believe there's a lot of talent here. And we believe when you think of the logistics of getting that to all those households in the U.S., we believe technology is a key enabler to help us deliver what the consumers want, when they want it, and how they want it.
So women in particular.
You bet. So we have a publicly stated goal across all this wire entities that 50% of our leaders will be female by 2030.
Wow.
So that's a pretty you know, audacious goal. And we believe that women play a key role in creating a diverse, high-performing team. So here in the U.S., more than half of my direct reports are female.
Wow.
We believe that
good for you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We believe acting like a leading technology enables speed. And speed is critical in our industry because...
I was going to ask you, is there one thing that is critical? And you just hit it. And I have to just think that we have a perishable product. And so is that part of it?
That is
perishable?
Part of it. Okay. You bet. And quality. So we believe quality first and foremost. So quality and safety are paramount and as part of our principles. But also, how do we get that to our consumers in the freshest state possible? Because it is perishable. So we want to get it to them where they want it. We want to keep it cold if they want to consume it right then, or make it to where they can take it home and make it cold for when they want to consume it. So speed is acting also as demographics change, whether it be age, gender, ethnicity, whatever, consumer preferences and taste buds change. So we have to be agile and nimble, and speed enables that.
What flavor are you launching here?
This is Coca-Cola Spice. So Coca-Cola has been around well over 100 years. You know, it's our flagship brand. And so we're very protective of that flagship. So we have to firmly believe in a flavor extension to have the name Coca-Cola on it. So Coca-Cola Spiced, you know, there's this trend of spicy, a little flavor. It's got a little hint of raspberry in it. So I'll leave it to your imagination to what you interpret
cans.
It.
I'm going to drink them all.
Good.
Let's talk about AI.
You bet.
How is AI going to transform this space, you think?
We're collecting a lot of information. We collect information on a daily basis, even through 3D photo recognition, consumer sales data, and all of that. AI can just process it so much faster than humans. I don't look at it as AI is going to replace humans. I believe it's going to enable them to make decisions faster. And back to the speed component. When we empower humans with AI, think of the speed at which they can make decisions that might have taken weeks and now may take minutes.
Well, you've gathered enough data at this point to be able to have AI move through that data and go, ba-boom, here's what you got to do.
Correct.
So AI was always a little scary to me, but as we're learning more and more about AI, we're realizing, wow, this is really, really valuable. As long as it's used in a positive way. And you have all these conspiracy theorists saying this end of the world,
yes.
You know, but this is like the beginning of something very new.
Yes.
And you guys are able to use it in your company and you're making a beverage.
Exactly.
Right?
I'll give you a brief example. So if you take historical sales data, which a human being would have looked at, with AI, we can now overlay weather patterns, gas prices.
Oh, for delivering stuff. Oh,
all
my gosh,
kinds of things like that to start to discern trends. So, and again, back to we're getting that product right there when they need it versus ahead of the curve or behind the curve.
What is the most important thing for the next generation of tech leaders that they need to be successful? Because, I mean, this world is changing so fast and you now got AI and you've got, you know, world conditions, and you guys are obviously a worldwide company. So maybe some advice for that.
You bet. Don't be scared of data and information or technology. Embrace it as a way to unlock things faster, quicker,
agreed,
smarter, stronger.
Yep.
So many people are afraid of technology, like you said.
Yeah.
It's the big, scary monster that's going to
derail
everything.
Well, people don't like new, you know? And new is important.
And change is going to continue. It's going to be a continuum for us, but it's how we adopt and use that speed as a competitive advantage, whether that be AI or technology or information. And, you know, one of our goals is how we democratize data down to the lowest level in the organization so they can make decisions quicker versus hoarding that information to a select few and, you know, making it a powerful source of information. No, we want everybody to have it. So the ability to ingest data and discern trends for the future is going to be a key unlock for the talent in
well,
the future.
Well, that talent is going to be starting right now.
Yes.
So 4,000 strong young girls. Last time I saw this many girls together at one place, it was a cheerleading contest. Today, they're here, and they're all about business. And thanks to you, Rob Gehring, CEO of Swire Coca-Cola, they're going to have a nice opportunity with you guys. The website for Swire is Swire, SWIRECC.com. Thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it.
We'll be right back with more. Stay with us. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Attention business owners, 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are three things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the Clutter Factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the Death of the Salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, welcome back. Once again, we're here at SheTech Explorer Day, part of the Women Tech Council event going on. Joining us right now is Jeff Moss, Associate Commissioner of the Utah Innovation Fund, and something to do with the system of higher education. And okay, what does all this mean, Jeff?
Yeah, so the state of Utah has really tried to lean in on higher education. How do we make higher education more impactful from an economic development innovation perspective to not just benefit getting students good training? How do we impact society? How do we impact the economy?
Right.
So that's what I help out with.
So talk about your involvement here with this SheTech event.
Yeah, I've been aware of it for quite a while, very supportive of the effort. I think we definitely need to do more to promote getting more females into technology. I've been in the tech sector for over 20 years. Ooh. On a more personal level, I actually was asked to help support getting some funding for them through the legislature last session. So I was the one that actually ran the request
Awesome. In
my legislative capacity to help support this effort.
This is such a huge opportunity, I have to tell you. When I saw the faces of the young girls coming through the door, and thousands of them, literally, I guess something to the effect of 4,000 will be walking through here. It's a four-hour event.
Yeah.
What an ambitious thing. You know who can do this? Women.
Yes. Yes.
You and me could never do this.
No, keeping track of all of them would be very difficult for us, yes.
Oh, my gosh. And just a very well set up event. And so what are you looking for here with this event and for your company, for Utah Innovation Fund?
Yeah, so we really want to help support both workforce initiatives. So we are tied in, obviously, with USHI. We're very interested. We know that the state, we're growing like crazy. The economy is doing very, very well. But we don't have enough talent. And so getting more people interested in at a younger age, we can't wait till they just get to college. We're just not filling all the jobs that we need. You know, even just at Hill Air Force Base, they've told us they need 3,000 engineers up there. We're just not getting the talent that
we have. And that's a heck of a job to work for the Air Force, right?
So this would be on the tech side. But yes, so we've got a lot of interest. Our economy keeps growing. So that's part of it. The other is just, you know, women tend to in the past have not been as interested in the STEM space. And so I think the more we can get them exposure to, interest in, seeing people who've done it, you know, we're just seeing a huge impact by what SheTech and what the Women Tech Council are doing can really help promote more interest in that space. And frankly, it's going to help us, you know, get not only better employees, but more diverse employees, which I think is really important.
I'm just, again, it's going to get loud in here, folks, but we are sitting in the middle of what has now become a massive sea of 16 and 17-year-old girls. And this is really mind-blowing for me to see how early they're starting. And here for Utah, okay, what is it about Utah that you guys are having a explosion of growth when many other states are really suffering right now? They have mass exodus of people that want to live in certain states. Utah is a beautiful state, but not the easiest state to live in because, you know, if you go to California, you have summer all year round. Mm-hmm. You have a pretty harsh winter here in different parts of Utah. Mm-hmm. But what do you think it is? I mean, I think I'm seeing it happen all around me.
Yeah. Well, we actually ask that all the time. Why do people want to live in Utah? One of them is the outdoor recreation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And in the winter, even though it's cold, we also have a lot of people who love to ski and snowboard, and that's becoming a much popular thing.
Is it a young person state, you think?
We're one of the youngest, if not the youngest state in the nation.
Really?
We have a lot of growth, a lot of internal growth. You know, we've always been one that has larger families in Utah, so that's part of it.
Yeah.
But also, we're just seeing more interest from people that just love the outdoors. Mm. And so that's a big part of what draws people here.
And now, Silicon Slopes.
Yep.
Used to be Silicon Valley, and all of a sudden, Utah is really where technology is booming.
Yeah. You know, I lived in the Bay Area 15 years ago and spent a lot of time in the venture space. And at the time, it wasn't really a big enough place where people still had concerns if they were going to take a job in Utah and that job didn't work out, they moved their family or they moved out here. And if that didn't work, where would they go? I think we've had some really good successes, both internally. We've had a number of companies that have become unicorns and done very well. We've also seen a lot of interest of folks moving their companies here. So I think they kind of hit that critical mass where there was enough of a cluster here that people felt safe to move here. And as soon as that hit, it just went exponential.
Yeah. Talk about AI.
Yeah.
I mean, these young people that are here right now, you and I, and I seem to be much older than you even, AI is kind of new, but these kids have grown up on it and looked into it immediately. And, you know, older guys like me, I kind of shied away from it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, AI is part of their life.
Yes.
Talk about it for you guys.
Yeah, well, I can look at it from a couple angles. One is in my legislative role, in my higher ed role. When ChatGPT hit about a year ago and everybody got excited about it, we very quickly started putting groups together to say, what are we going to do about this? Where are we at? We put a workforce group together that brought a bunch of folks from K-12, industry folks saying, okay, it's here. What are we going to do? And we put together some plans. We were able to get some private funds to start the process of getting these young folks the training and skills that they need to even know how to do that. Part of it was actually teaching teachers to be aware of and how to use it as a tool and also what some of the concerns are around it.
Right.
And then the second piece of it where Utah, I think, is really going to lead out is we actually put a bill together. I was one of the sponsors of it this last session. We spent all interim between our sessions working on what should our AI policy look like. So we actually stood up an AI learning lab that is working, you know, in tandem with the Department of Commerce, looking, are there things maybe we need to look through regulatory? We want to be a light touch state, but then really being proactive of saying, we know there's incredible opportunities, but how do we do it in the right way? And bringing industry, academia, and policy together in this learning lab to be able to really get as much as we can, try to stay up on where are we going and how do we make sure we're still protecting citizens, but seeing the full potential of what AI can do for us.
The website is www.ushe.com. So U-S-H-E.
U-S-H-E.edu, yeah. So that's the Utah System of Higher Education.
Because it says .com here, so I'm going to correct that.
Yeah, .edu.
Okay.
And then I also, my other role is the Utah Innovation Fund. So that's www.utahinnovationfund.com. And the fund is really set up to help early stage. We are investing into AI companies directly, so student groups that are, you know, coming up with their first business, need their first check. We actually have funding to be able to support that. Universities that are spinning out. We've got some really advanced AI technologies that are coming out of our universities. Part of our role is actually help to commercialize and spin those businesses out.
Well, I can tell you that the feminine sound in the background is thousands of young girls. I've been to trade shows for years, and this definitely has a unique, feminine, giggly girls walking by waving at us and what have you. It's really cute. Listen, thank you for being here. Thank you for what you guys are doing. And Jeff Moss, again, another one of the folks here at the SheTech Explorer Day. Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you.
All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Want to find out more about Entrepreneur Weekly? Visit us at entrepreneur.com.
Hi, it's Alan Taylor from Entrepreneur Weekly.
Child sexual exploitation is an unimaginable crime that continues to invade our communities and homes. The National Children's Alliance reports that almost 700,000 children are abused in the U.S. each year, with 65% of child abuse cases involving sexual exploitation. The Maloof Foundation exists to confront this crime by providing education, promoting healing, and ensuring justice for survivors. But making a difference can't be done alone. To create the greatest impact, they're going to need your help and mine. Do like I did and join the Maloof Foundation in their efforts to confront child sexual exploitation and learn how you can preserve a child's right to freedom, hope, justice, and dignity. I just want to repeat this one last time. The National Children's Alliance reports almost 700,000 children are abused in the U.S. each year. You can help. Let's do it together. At MaloofFoundation.org. That's M-A-L-O-U-F Foundation.org.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, welcome back. We are here again at the SheTech Explorer Day put on by the Women Tech Council. Joining me right now is Vance Checkitz. He's the CEO of Audicon US. Vance, I have some real basic questions for you. The first one, what does your company do? That's a hard one, I know.
I know, tough.
Right.
We are a technology talent partner with a twist.
Okay.
The twist, I know you want to know.
I want to know.
81% of our team is autistic.
Oh my gosh. But that could be considered a secret weapon.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we've seen like on American Idol where the blind autistic kid, you're like, oh my gosh, what could this guy sound like? And then he's fantastic.
Yeah. That's and exactly.
So I have a lot of friends that the new thing these days, if you're like really smart, somebody will say, oh, he's on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, they even say that about Elon Musk.
Yeah.
So is it a superpower, you think?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. Especially awesome. Especially in technology where we're focused on disciplines like data analytics and quality assurance and development, leveraging new technologies like artificial intelligence.
Unbelievable. So it says, what are some of your keys to building diverse teams? Well, the whole company. So what do you think about this? You're evidently on the board of the Women Tech Council.
That's right.
Maybe you could just give an elevator pitch on that.
Oh, of course. Well, you build diverse teams by starting with diversity, by embracing ideas and people that are a little bit different than you. Women Tech Council, I'm a man. My pronouns are he and him, in case I haven't established that with you. So,
right.
So Women Tech Council has asked me as a man to be part of their mission.
So once again, diverse.
Diverse.
Right.
So they are really practicing what they preach. It's not just the Women Tech Council only for women. Now
right.
The target is to reach out like we are doing today to these young women to get them interested in educational pathways and potential careers in technology and start them early and young. Now, of course, there are programs through Women Tech Council to help women that are further along in their education and their careers get into senior positions. And that's a real key aspect of having diverse teams and diverse companies is getting the diversity into leadership.
I love it. I love it. Now, the question I have is, how do you find your potential? And by the way, lots of young girls here, so you're going to hear a lot of noise in the background.
It's exciting.
How do you find your people?
A lot of them find us.
After today, they're going to have more.
Today, they're going to
come. Parents and family members are going to hear this and go, what? Audicon US. Audicon US. And it is audicon.com.
Yeah. You can even go to audicon.us for our US specific website.
Okay.
We are a global company. So if you're listening to this and you're in Canada, Australia, Germany.
Right. Well, with Entrepreneur, we do have a worldwide audience.
Yeah.
So this is wonderful.
Yeah. We are a global company. It actually started in Germany. And We have expanded in 15 countries around the world.
Unbelievable. So what are some of the questions you ask these folks when they come to you?
Well, the first and most important thing is we listen to them. We don't ask too many probing questions around their autism. It's usually something that they are pretty comfortable disclosing when you have a company like ours and we are so focused on autism.
Mm-hmm.
We do an assessment of their technical skills and abilities. Mm. We want to make sure that they have the right technical skills. We know that sometimes the interpersonal and the social skills are where there's a little bit of a challenge. One of my recent conversations with one of our consultants, they told me about how they got straight A's through all of school, elementary school, high school, into college, where they failed lunch and recess.
Oh my gosh.
And so one of the things that we do is we make sure that the technical foundation is strong, and then we come in with job coaches and supporting programs that help them interface with the client companies and the client companies with them. And in the process, Alan, we're not only helping one person who was probably 70% of autistic adults are unemployed or underemployed. Oh. And not only are we giving them jobs, but then we're making diverse neuro-inclusive places for more people to come, or for the 15 to 20% of the employees that are already there that are neurodivergent to feel more accepted, more welcome, and can be more effective.
Well, if you're listening to this and you know somebody that fits this opportunity, it is AUTICON.US. Vance Checkets, thank you. This is awesome.
Oh, thank you, Alan.
Yes.
It's a pleasure to be here and talk
to you.
All
right. We're going to come back with more here from the SheTech Explorer Day in Salt Lake City. Stay with us. Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Okay, we are here again at the Women Tech Council SheTech Explorer Day, and there are about 4,000 high school age girls here walking around. There's all kinds of booths with all kinds of technology and companies looking for future employees. Joining us right now is Sean Kirkby. He is Vice President of Engineering for the company that is called NICE, NICE.com. Sean, tell us about NICE. Thanks for being here, but tell us about NICE. What is
NICE? Sure. NICE has been in business for quite a while, and there are three divisions to the company. We have a customer experience division. We have a financial crimes solutions division, where we protect trillions of dollars of transactions, over billions of transactions per day.
Wow.
And then we have a public safety and justice division, a product called Evidence Central, that helps ensure that justice departments have the information they need to ensure justice is done when there's a crime. I work with the customer experience division, and our main focus is to help businesses create excellent experiences for their customers.
Wowzer. Now, I'm sure that NICE, because what an interesting name, you know, yeah. NICE, and you're doing all that. Yeah, yeah. Does it stand for anything, or is it just a brilliant name?
You know, I think today we would say it's probably not an acronym, but initially it was. I don't remember exactly. I think it was Neptune Information Computer Engineering or
oh
something like that.
Oh, my gosh, right?
Yeah, the company is headquartered out of Israel, and that was initially what it stood for, but today it's just NICE.
That's great. Well, good for you. So NICE.com if you want more information on that. What are you doing here at the Women Tech Council event?
I've been aware of Women Tech Council for quite some time and have loved the work that they do. I've got five daughters myself.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Five? You have any boys?
I have two boys, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Those poor boys.
Yeah, no, it's a great experience. And all of my girls are grown, but, you know, I've loved seeing them flourish and, you know, and to grow. And, of course, as a business leader, I have many women in my organization that I greatly admire, and I love thinking about the opportunities that get created for young girls. So I think that, you know, the chances that they have need to be more promoted the way that the Women's Tech Council is doing. So
right.
I wanted to be involved. So today I'm volunteering as a mentor.
Yeah, that's great. And you and I have one daughter, but now I have a daughter-in-law, and now I have a granddaughter or two now. Mm-hmm. But it's important that we remember how difficult it was to find things like this for our daughters.
Yes.
This is brilliant. Look at them standing in line at these booths.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Standing in line. There's 4,000 of these folks here, yeah. These young girls. And they're all interested in maybe a future in, you know, what is it over here? Energy, renewable power, create the future. It's like everything is Utah Tech University. Mm-hmm. It's all amazing for these young high school age girls,
yeah.
Which is brilliant because it's catching them while they're open-minded. Because I think as we get older, we start getting focused in on, you know, life in a different way. But when you're young, you just, the whole world is interesting.
Yeah.
So what a wonderful thing.
It really is. You know, as we see the tech industry become more accessible,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think events like this provide a really great signal to them that there's a place. And if they've got an interest and an inclination and an aptitude towards things that are technical, you know, like you said, they've got a great opportunity here that wasn't always available before.
Yeah.
So this is really outstanding.
So you're a mentor.
Yes.
How are you mentoring?
Yeah, I'll be involved in the Tech Challenge event today. So there'll be a group of 10 girls or so that will form a team. And my role will be to help them to come together as a team and to encourage them to bring their best thinking to the challenge. And then their solution will be judged. So I'm hoping to help them be their best.
Can you believe how much they're doing in just 4 hours?
Yeah, it's incredible.
I mean, to tell you.
Yeah.
This is like, I mean, I said to one of the other guys, I'm like, you and I could not do this. But leave it to women and they can put together something absolutely amazing that is organized. And they're all, it's like working harmoniously. How is that? You know?
Yeah, it's really a wonderful thing.
What advice do you have for these young women when they come to you as a mentor? Do you have any interesting advice that you can share?
You know, what's interesting, and a lot of this is, I think, rooted in my experience as a dad with girls this age, is really leaning into their own personality. Don't let, I guess, social norms be their guide.
Yeah.
But if they have an interest to pursue something, then speak up and reach out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think that could be really difficult and intimidating.
Yeah.
And so I think events like this really make that sort of thing
possible. I agree.
Possible.
I completely agree. Well, NICE.com, Sean Kirkby, thank you for being with us.
You bet.
Thank you for mentoring the girls.
Of course.
We're very appreciative to the Women Tech Counselor for bringing us here to experience this. At first, I was like, you're going to do what? 4,000 high school girls and you want me to come? All right, what the heck? Let's go see what it is. It's the She Tech Explorer Day. That's it for me for this hour. We're going to do 3 hours of this event and play them over the next few weeks. I'm Alan Taylor. See you next time right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.